You're listening to Phoenix 98 FM, and you've just heard When We're Together from Rialto. It's a debut single released back in 1997, and I'm delighted to say that after more than 20 years away, the band are back. They've played their first gig in probably what seemed like forever at Shine On Festival a little while ago, and they've now announced a London gig in January. And I'm now joined by lead singer Louis to talk all about it. Hello, sir.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hello, thank you. How are we today?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Been a bit of a manic day because suddenly there's a bit of interest in the band again all of a sudden after all this time. And yeah, just sort of dealing with that really. But it's been great.
So how did the Shine On gig go first? The first time back on stage in a long, long time as Rialto.
Yeah, it went really well. It couldn't have been a nicer crowd, actually. It was amazing. And Shine On have been asking us for a few years if we'd like to do it. And it just felt right. You're right, we hadn't done it. We didn't do a warm-up gig or anything. So walking out on the stage and playing those songs felt quite strange, but
okay,
but fantastic. You know, the crowd, what we got back from the crowd was amazing, and it just felt like a hug from an old mate or something. You know, it was really it was really heartwarming.
That's brilliant to hear. I mean, did you hang around for the whole of the weekend? Were you bumping into old faces from back in the day?
Definitely bumped into some old faces, yeah. The moment we arrived, I bumped into a mate who was in a band called Flowered Up, and then in a band called Republica, who are actually out and about doing stuff still. I've just released a new record, I think. And various other people from other bands, you know, there were other mates there, the Wonder Staff and Linoleum. And, you know, it was very nice. And actually, it was nice to catch up with old pals, but it was also nice because the general vibe there was very friendly. And so we made some new mates as well. We didn't stay the whole weekend. And I've got to say, I was a bit hungover on Sunday, but I was in there. We played Saturday night and went back in for some more fun on Sunday.
So you've the first headline gig of 2024 has been announced. What can you tell us about that?
Well, what I can tell you is, yes, it's been announced, and it's the tickets are going on general release on Friday. Like you say, it's over 20 years since we played in London, and we are going to be playing at the Lexington, and which is a favourite venue of mine. The sound is great, and it's a nice, quite intimate sort of size show. Yeah. So I'm just very excited. It's the venue that I really wanted to do when we came,
Okay.
Back. And we'll be playing old songs and might even slip a couple of new ones in. And should be a good night.
I'll ask more about that, the new song a bit later. But yeah, Lexington is a superb venue, one of my favourites in London. And they sell excellent bourbon downstairs as well, which is another good thing for me. So yeah.
Well. Absolutely right. Yeah, we're going to have some DJs afterwards as well. So there'll be a bit of a time for a drink up after the show. And it's a Friday night, that's the 26th of January. So hopefully people won't have to. It's not a school night, so hopefully people can hang out for a bit.
Stay around and, yeah, excellent. Any more planned? Too early to say?
It's a bit early to say, really. It's all sort of, you know, we're just, I suppose, like any band, you're kind of gauging the response and you really don't know what it's going to be. So far, it's been amazing, the response. So who knows? Let's see how this one goes and hopefully we'll have a full house and
I can't imagine you won't, but so we heard your debut single sort of from quite a while ago now. I mean, what can you sort of remember from the how Rialto came about and sort of the from the end of Kinky Machine into Rialto and back in the late 90s as it would have been?
Yeah, well, that's right, we had this band called Kinky Machine that the guitar player Johnny and I were in before. And we then kind of felt we were in a bit of a creative straitjacket with that band. It was really a guitar band. And we had this very supportive A&R man who said, look, why don't you just take some time out? He got us some quite rudimentary recording equipment, you know, compared to what people have today. But it allowed us to go away and demo a load of new songs with a bit of a new sound. And that was Rialto. And it allowed us to tap into these other influences that weren't just guitar band stuff. So, you know, whether that be John Barry and sort of Bond theme tunes and all that kind of stuff, or whether it was Ennio Morricone or the Beach Boys, or, you know, production just became a little bit more interesting in Johnny's hands. Yeah, so we sort of just disappeared and came back with this thing and a new band, really. And it was exciting, and also we felt quite confident that we'd made something good.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, I hate asking how did you get the band's name, but going back to what you said about the sort of the new influences from a straight guitar band, Cinematic is it was sort of, when I think about definitely the sort of, well, both albums really, there's definitely a cinematic sound to it. I mean, and that obviously plays out in the name somewhat as well.
That's right. So Rialto, somebody said to me when we were demoing, and we didn't have a name actually, I think we sort of tried out a few, toying with a few rubbish names, and somebody said to me, what's the music like? And I was like, well, it's so hard to describe it, but perhaps it would sound great if we did a gig in a dilapidated old theatre, you know, ripped red velvet seats and somewhere that was a bit forgotten but had some kind of decaying grandeur and stuff. And she said, oh, what, like the Rialto? And I was like, of course, that's it. That's the name. There was a cinema in South London that had been closed for years, but was an old deco building. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And it also sort of linked quite nicely with the fact that as you know, John Barry fans, John Barry had actually grown up his dad was a manager of Rialto Cinema in Leeds, I think. So that sort of had a nice sort of tie-in for me as well. But yeah, it was later that we discovered or realised that there was also a three-wheeled car called a Rialto, like the Reliant Robin. But that's cool as well.
I hadn't known that, so that's, yeah.
It was like the less popular Reliant Robin, yeah.
If there was such a thing, but yeah, I suppose it was popular in its time, wasn't it? A strange segue, but one that's worked quite well. I mean, popularity, I mean, and I'm not going to use the phrase that gets used about Rialto in most things that are written about you, but I mean, you could have been massive. I mean, it's top 40 singles, Top of the Pops, other sort of big TV appearances, hugely anticipated debut album, which when it was released did actually sell really well. But then record labels and the woe that brought you and sort of derailing everything. Sort of, I mean, what actually happened with all of that? I mean, it must have been a nightmare time.
Well, it was, as you say, things were going very well, very, very well. And the album was, you know, hotly tipped and so on. We had lots of fantastic reviews. We had so much support. Everybody seemed to really love the band. Everybody, apart from the new boss of the record label we were on. So the old boss loved us. And then without warning, suddenly there was a change of boss at the label who decided to pull the plug on it. And it was quite, it was a sort of shock because we were like, oh, I thought we were doing quite well. We looked at our contemporaries on the label and elsewhere, and we were the ones to watch. And we were, you know, we were doing great. We got on with the label and, you know, we felt things were on a really nice path. But somebody came along and decided that wasn't to be the case. So they dropped us from the label just before the album was due to come out, which, yeah, definitely sort of affected the momentum of the band. Yeah. We then spent sort of 6 months sorting out another deal on a label called China, which was cool as well. And the album came out and did perfectly well, did really well. I think it was top 20 or, you know, it sold very healthily, despite a little bit of, you know, things moved very quickly. And despite the fact that we sort of lost a bit of momentum, it still did really well. But then that label was bought by the one that had dropped us. Mm. So we were suddenly back on a label that had just dropped us. And we did make another record for them, but they made us sit around for a very long time before deciding they were going to drop us again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel very lucky that we even got that chance. You know, in those days, you were reliant on these gatekeepers in the music industry. And now you can do stuff yourself a bit more DIY. Then you couldn't really. And we had an excellent time. We had a laugh. We fulfilled a lot of childhood dreams, Top of the Pops and all of that. And we also had a lot of success abroad. So it was a shame, but I was sort of, you know, these kind of stories are sort of to a penny in a way. I mean, maybe ours was a bit more extreme than other people's, but, you know, that was the record industry. And there was no point in feeling too kind of cut up about it. I just thought you just got to get up and move forward.
Go again. Yeah, and it's, a lot of bands wouldn't have done, though. A lot of bands would have, you know, that was sort of after what happened with that. But yeah, so Night on Earth was the second album, which I'm assuming is the one that sort of they sat on for absolutely ages. Released in 2001. We're going to play one of the album tracks from that, one of my favourites, actually, which is Drive.
To go to bed when you've been up all night. So as the day slips through the bars, don't let us break down. We should be racing from this medicine like jets who cross the sky, leaving the trails to fade and die. I know we're confused, we've nothing to lose. Let's get in the car and drive. The twisted streets with neon in our veins, and in our hearts the beats, the sound of subway trains. I know tomorrow's nearly here, don't let it stop now. should be rushing from the burning crash, like jets across the sky, leaving their trails to fade and die. The dawn's gonna break, we're bursting away. Let's get in the car and drive.
So that was Drive from the album Night on Earth. You touched on it just before that. Though you had some of the setbacks in the UK, you did see a lot of success sort of outside of Britain, especially in some areas of Asia and everything. I mean, how did all of that play out?
Well, it came as a massive surprise. It was one of those things that we didn't even, we were particularly successful in South Korea, and I'd never really thought about South Korea, and when we heard that we were going to be going out there, and we were greeted by fans at the airport and everything, it was wonderful and funny and it was fantastic. And there's still a lot of support for the band. I've since discovered, through Instagram and stuff, that, Indonesia, there's a very sort of strong kind of almost like a sort of cult following of the band in Indonesia. Okay. Which is really nice, not all these things, because we were pre-streaming, and a lot of the stuff is still not available on streaming services. So it hasn't been easy to gauge really where there may be a bit of interest in the band. We're just beginning to pick up on that now. So it's almost like this forgotten thing that we're rediscovering.
On the streaming front, is that something on purpose, or is it a rights issue? Is it something you're planning to do?
It's really to do with convoluted series of different record companies owning, and us being not particularly, like I said, I've always just sort of tried to look forward really and not get too caught up in, and admin is not my favorite thing. So it's just sort of one of those things that it's like these records have sort of slipped down the back of the sofa and nobody's bothered to have a route around for them. But we will do, and I think we are working on that gradually, so I hope to get these other things up there soon.
Two albums and with everything that happened, I mean, not surprisingly, you the band didn't last back then, you went solo. I mean, it's fair to say you've been keeping yourself fairly busy between now and then. Solo albums in your own name, you've played with a lot of other artists, done songwriting. Most recently, but it's been over 10 years now, you've been touring with Grace Jones. I mean, I take it that's been quite an adventure as well, by the sound of it.
Brilliant. I feel, again, just very lucky to have kind of got that gig. I think these sort of things, you got to be good. You got to be able to do the job, but you also just have to get lucky. And I think I was very lucky to land that gig. I love playing for Grace. She's an amazing front person, and the band are wicked. That we, it's been the same lineup for longer than I've been in the band. I'm the newest member, and I've been with them for 13 years. So yeah, we've we play all over the world, and that, you know, that was some consolation for Alto not maybe going the way we'd hoped. But yeah, I like to keep busy, whether that's writing and playing for other people. And Grace is there's not many people I would be more excited about playing for, actually. Still, you know, she's an incredible force of nature.
Yeah, I think I saw you a quote from you saying that she's otherworldly, but in a very good way. I think so. And
yeah, she is, and she's not. You know, what's great about Grace as well is she's genuinely not down to earth. You know, and that would be disappointing if she was. She is, you know, she's a lot of different things, but down to earth isn't one of them. And I love that about her. But she is fiercely loyal and really supportive of her kind of family in the wider sense, you know, of the band and crew and everything. It's a really nice thing to be part of.
Yeah. Okay. So how's it feeling now to, you know, being sort of go back to being the front man yourself and Rialto? And what was the sort of the main driver in actually? I mean, you mentioned earlier that it felt like the right time, but how did it all happen and how's it feeling? Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I say, we've had some interest from promoters over the last few years, particularly I guess through sort of through social media and stuff, people have been able to find their way to us. And, you know, I suppose just a gradual building of that interest. And then I sort of started writing some songs that I thought, well, these kind of feel a bit like Rialto. They feel like a sort of like it's an update on that world that I was inhabiting then, or that part of my personality that I was exploring. But, you know, 20 years later, I'm different. Mm. I've grown up, and I'm perhaps they're a little bit darker at times. Perhaps they're more obviously slightly humorous in a sort of bleak kind of way, but and perhaps some of the other influences are things, you know, or other, oh, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that I was writing some songs and I thought these sound like Rialto, and maybe it's time to do a gig, maybe it's time to even play a new song, and let's see how it goes down.
Yeah, and the new songs, right? So this, we'll move forward. The London gig's been a massive success and everything. I mean, and as I said, I'm sure it will be. But it's sort of, will it take that for those songs to see the light of day, or is the plan always that they might do for outside of live music?
Well, we pulled one out of the bag. We actually pulled two out of the bag on the gig we just did at Shine Weekender. And I know that, you know, I always, you know, when you go and see a band that haven't been together for ages and they mention that they're going to do a new song, you can hear the groan coming from the audience. There's a sort of collective sigh of like, oh God, here we go. But so I slipped one in without telling the crowd that we were doing a new song. We just slipped one in and thought maybe, you know, anyway, it went well. And then we did a couple of old ones again and they went well. And then we did another new one and it went down an absolute storm. And I just thought, I did announce that one, but they were so receptive. I just thought, well, this is fun. Let's, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I expect we might do a new song or two.
Okay. And I think, I didn't say, but I will say now, it's, you said that there'll be a groan, but I don't think anyone would look at you as a joining the sort of the 80s and 90s sort of, you know, just going out and just playing. Oh, they're coming back and they're playing the sort of the hits again. It doesn't feel like that with the way that you've handled it on socials and things.
Yeah, so. I guess that's true. You know, and I wouldn't inflict anything on anyone. We wouldn't inflict anything if we didn't think it was decent. So yeah, you know, it's really fun revisiting the old songs and some of the ones that I didn't enjoy playing even somehow towards the end of the band's sort of previous life. It's been really fun revisiting them actually and thinking, okay, these work. And yeah, so you know, we a little bit of both.
Okay, I was going to. I mean, I think you've already answered it. I was going to say what's next for the band, but obviously it's London, and then see what comes next. I mean, would you be tempted by the festival circuit as a band, or is that looking far too far ahead?
Let's see how it goes. But yeah. I'm certainly up for. Yeah, I think if the reaction is right, and carries on being as it is at the moment, then we definitely consider that. Yeah, if we get some offers for that, it'll be really fun.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Lexington in the new year. And we're going to finish now with your top 20 single from 1998. This is Rialto and Untouchable. Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Of your wings to keep you with me, I would do anything, like broken bottles that slip from drunken hands. I've watched my star falling and shatter on the ground. First you wash your hair, then you wash your hands. Oh yeah, I think I understand. Untouchable if I'm not fit to even crawl, if I'm too sick I'll soak my skin in alcohol until I feel untouchable. Untouchable if I'm not fit to chances as you blow dried your hair. I thought of my answers as you walk down the stairs. Do you think I'll defile you if you need to get too close? Do you think I'll infect you? Do you think I'll give you a dose? First you wash your hair, then you wash your hands. Oh yeah, I think I understand.
Untouchable if I'm not fit to even crawl, if I'm too sick I'll soak my skin in alcohol until I feel untouchable.
I was chatting to Louis last week before the London gig went on sale, and yeah, my predictions of it doing quite well were pretty much on the mark. 2 minutes, the main sale sold out in. So brilliant to see that the interest really is still there in the band. Thank you again for Louis taking the time to chat to me.